this is news director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone today for my series of candidate interviews is candidate for Minnesota House 5A, is Matt Bliss. How's it going today, Matt?
I'm doing wonderful, Larissa. Thanks for having me on.
Well, sure, absolutely. So before we get started with the questions, why don't we learn a little bit about yourself, like how long you've lived in this area?
I've moved to Pennington in 2001 when I purchased my business. I've been coming up here my entire life for vacation. My father was born and raised in Pennington, and there was a very large presence of Blisses in the Pennington area. We've been in the area probably a little more than 100 years. I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota and joined the military out of high school and kind of moved around, bounced around until I found my home up here.
All right. And I know you did serve as Minnesota's 5A's representative from 2016 to 2018. But prior to that, what sort of other political campaigns have you run?
Well, I chose to run for county commissioner in 2014 against Keith Winger, who promptly showed me how to lose with dignity. The nice thing about that is Keith's a good guy, and I actually got a friend on the campaign, so it was worth it. Other than that, I really haven't been involved in public office. I was active when I lived in Elk River in the Republican Party down there. When I moved up here with the business, didn't have a whole lot of time trying to start the business up, and now it's pretty much running on its own, and I can take a little time out and do the public service.
All right. So my next question is, what sort of inspired you to throw your hat into the race again this year?
Well, when I was down there in 17 and 18, I think we did a whole lot of good down there. I think I showed how a legislator for the local area can push the local issues and actually get some results. I want to get back down there again. I really don't think we're being represented well up here. I want to make sure that the Bemidji area is represented and our values are represented down there.
All right. My next question is, of course, as you said, as a legislator, you're expected to represent our area and be our voice in St. Paul. What are some of the key issues your constituents or potential constituents have discussed with you?
Well, when I've been out door knocking, number one issue obviously is the COVID issue. And they get a range of responses. A lot of people are supporting the governor and his one-man government in St. Paul. A lot of people are upset with him and his one-man government. And I think that's kind of where I come down. We have 201 legislators in Minnesota that they were put in there by people like you and me voting for their representatives in St. Paul. And the governor, by decree, has eliminated the whole branch of the legislature, the House and the Senate. That's just not right. I supported the governor in the first 15 days to slow the spread. We didn't know what we were getting into. It showed that now we have the science and the data, and we can take a little bit more deliberative steps to make sure that we don't impact the economy like we have been impacting the economy. And I think, the range of comments I'm hearing out on the street are some in support of the governor, some not in support of the governor. When I, express my concerns, for the most part, I'm getting good responses on that. The whole gun control debate before the COVID hit was huge up here. And I know our current representative took some votes that there was a lot of people that weren't happy with, including myself. And that was one of the big issues. And of course, always the taxes and the schools, and I think we need to support our schools and we need to support the roads and bridges, but we really have a lot of waste in St. Paul that we need to get a handle on. Last session there was the child care facilities that were taking hundreds of millions of dollars in fraud, fraudulent means out of the state budget. If we can get control of that, that's hundreds of millions. I think the number that was tossed out at the end there was $300 million. If we get that back in the kitty, there's a lot of good things that can be done with that without raising taxes. So that's that's another reason why I wanted to get back in there.
All right, my next question's a little open-ended, but I'm wondering, what sort of values do you have that guide you in your decision-making?
Well, family man. I got kids and grandkids. My wife is a school teacher. My daughter's a school teacher. You grow up on a farm, you learn how to do hard work and not look to other people to do your hard work for you. You just roll your sleeves up and get it done. Christian, I've been working at it. Nobody's perfect. There's a saying that there's only one perfect man that's ever lived, and that was Jesus. And I'm trying, I'm striving. I'm failing quite a bit, but I strive to live up to that. And just the small business work ethic that I have, it takes a different mindset to sign the front of a paycheck. My opponent likes to claim he managed a small business for several years, and there's a big difference when it's your money on the line. You're the last one taking the paycheck. If the money's short that month, you don't pay yourself. You pay your employees and you pay the bills. You don't pay yourself. That's a different mindset than people that just run a business or a manager of a business. They always get their paycheck. It doesn't affect them like that. So the work ethic that I've got, but my father instilled in me, we had just a small hobby farm, and we struggled. We were poor, dirt poor. Actually, we looked up to people that were dirt poor because they owned dirt. And, to know the struggle, and then, I'm doing okay now. I'm not rich. I pay my bills on time, but I've been there. I know how it is. And I really, I think those are the kind of things that the northern Minnesota people appreciate, helping out the people that are in need, but also expecting people to help themselves, and being willing to give people a hand up and help them when they're in the situations where they need it.
All right. My next question is, many of us here in Greater Minnesota watch with some frustration as legislators seem to vote strictly along party lines. Would you vote in favor of items you and your constituents agree with, even if they're across the aisle?
Yeah, if you look at my voting record, I did not vote party line all the time. When you say party line, I align most of my principles with the Republican Party. So, of course, I'm going to be voting mostly along those lines. However, for instance, my wife being a school teacher, there were issues that came up that I voted against because one was to eliminate the last in, first out provision on the negotiations. I felt that, I didn't think the Bemidji School District would do this, but it could be used where, for instance, my wife has been teaching for 30 years. She's earned her salary. But her salary can pay two new school teachers that might not have the same skill set she does. And I felt that was wrong, and I voted against that. I also voted for funding for Native American schools that was against party lines. I co-sponsored, when I was down there, along with Representative Kinesh Pudin, she authored the Missing and Exploited Native Women bill. And I was the second Republican signer on that bill. I was very proud of that. And we pushed it through, and it actually made it to the governor's desk. But as you know, in 2018, Governor Dayton vetoed everything. So unfortunately, that bill didn't get passed until the next session, which I'm glad it was passed.
All right. Well, my next question, you touched on a little bit, but what are your thoughts on the legislature's response to COVID-19? And do you think the legislature should have more control over pandemic response, or should that be left to the executive branch?
Again, I supported the governor's first 15 days, where it was 15 days to slow the spread, where the whole intention was to allow our medical facilities the ability to ramp up, get the testing equipment in, the PPE, I supported that. And that's really what the emergency powers are meant to do, something that where we need to take a step right now, where we can't take the 2 to 3 weeks sometimes it takes to get a bill through. We need to react right now to it. And that's what the emergency powers are meant for. One can argue that, I have argued this, that the governor's overstepped it now. He really moves the end zone all the time. And it's frustrating when you hear him talk. If you go back and listen to the first few weeks of when he had taken the emergency powers, most of the state was with him. I was with him. I had some concerns, but I understood that, you know, the need for the immediate response was there, and I supported it. So, you know, when you take steps like he does in St. Paul, there's a lot of the mask mandate, for instance. I'm not in favor of a government doing it, but when Bemidji did it, that was a Bemidji decision. And that, you know, if a government is going to do it, it should be the local government, because they know what's happening in their community. When the governor does something by decree out of his ivory mansion in St. Paul, that affects the entire state, regardless of your conditions. There's pockets of the state that haven't seen COVID. There's every county in the state now, Lake of the Woods finally got their first COVID case.
I was wondering what was happening up there.
What was that?
Oh, I was kind of curious, like, because I kept saying, still zero cases, still zero cases. I'm like, what are they, got trees in the roads?
Exactly. You know, and so one of my daughters, who is a teacher in Colorado, and Colorado has a mask mandate, too. But she teaches in a small town in southern Colorado, and her husband owns a small business down there. They have no COVID in that area, and it's kind of a protected area. And it's a mechanic shop. So all of his mechanics now are required to wear a mask the entire time they're working on a vehicle. And if you've ever, I was a mechanic in a previous life before I went into electronics and computers. And it gets hot and hard to breathe, and it's just not healthy to do that. And in a situation like that, that area is not affected. Why are they making them wear masks? There's a lot of pockets in Minnesota that are the same way. There's a lot of pockets in Minnesota that have had high breakouts. Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Wilmington area, you know, with the meatpacking plants. Those areas should be treated separately, and they should be treated, the local governments are the ones that should be controlling that. And again, you know, when the small businesses did it, you know, or the businesses required masks, that's their choice. And I supported that 100%. You know, if a Menards wants to mandate masks, that's Menards' choice. You don't have to go into Menards. You can go somewhere else if you don't like it. But when a government does it, it's a little bit different. And again, you know, if the government's going to do it, I think it should be done at the local level. In St. Paul, we have 201 legislators that were duly elected by the state of Minnesota, the residents of the state of Minnesota. Every representative down there in each house district represent nearly 40,000 people. I think it's 38,700 is the average. Those 38,000 votes have no voice in St. Paul anymore. Every one of the 201 legislators down there have no voice because the governor can just, you know, wave of his kingly wand, can decree by decree, make a law, which, you know, some might say is unconstitutional. And I believe there's a court case down there right now fighting that. So I really don't like the way it's extended. You know, look at the businesses that he closed. You know, you could line up at a Walmart, you know, 10 people deep, but he wouldn't let you go to the local store downtown and buy a pair of shoes. You'd go to Walmart and buy them, but not downtown. And, you know, Bemidji and Walker have a very vibrant downtown community. And this is, those downtown shops are not your Walmarts, they're not your Targets. That's your neighbor down the street that has a mortgage payment, he's got insurance payment, he's got utility bills. That's hurting them. And we could lose our downtowns because of this. And, you know, the governor's friend who happened to own a candy store because he sold apples was able to classify it as a grocery store and open. Is that fair? You know, the way he's been doing it, it doesn't make rhyme or reason to me at all.
All right, my last question here before I give you another opportunity to bring up any other issue you'd like to discuss is childcare. Childcare is becoming incredibly difficult to find in this area, especially for infants, and the childcare issue is being exacerbated in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. What are your ideas on how to address access to childcare?
Well, I think if you talk to the people that have tried to open childcare facilities, they'll tell you that the regulations and the licensing requirements that go into a childcare facility is just onerous. To try to open something like that is almost impossible. We need to make sure the kids are safe, but also some of the regulations are just prohibitive to open a business like that. And when I worked up at the Red Lake Indian Reservation, we talked about opening a child care facility. And one of the reasons that they were having a hard time doing it was all the regulations to get licensed. So I know firsthand that is that is one of the major obstacles in doing it. You got to make sure the kids are safe, but you also have to make sure businesses can operate. You know, my nieces are trying to open one right now as well, and they're having a hard time because of the licensing. So you got people out there that want to do it. They want to provide the services. The government shouldn't be there as an obstacle. It should be there as a break to allow, you know, to make sure you're doing things safely, but also work with you to make sure you can run the business.
All right, Matt. Well, that takes care of my prepared questions. Is there any other issue or topic that we didn't address? I know it's really hard to narrow down everything the state government does, but...
I think what we're seeing right now in St. Paul, and you and I can also have conversations, and that's missing right now with people, and I'd really like to see more people sit down and discuss, you know. And when I go to door to door, very seldom, I don't want to say it never happens, but very seldom do I get the door slammed in my face. And a lot of times we can have discussions and agree to disagree. And down in the metro area right now, in St. Paul included, what's happening down there is just, it's like bizarro world. The people don't talk to each other. You know, if you disagree with somebody, you're automatically labeled a racist or a bigot. When if you just talk to me, I have a reason and an experience of why I think a certain way. And you have an experience in you know, the way you were raised, you think a certain way. We both could be right. We might have the same goal in mind, just a different route to get there. And I think the St. Paul Metro liberals, and I use that term a lot, and I don't like to do it, but I think there is a difference between the old-time Democrats that we used to see, that I used to be. I was a Democrat. They're gone, and the people that I see out there right now, and I don't want to say it's just on the left. There's people that way on the right, too, and I try to avoid them as well. But it's just crazy, especially down in the city. So look at the riots and the hate for police. Oh, my gosh. I was raised to respect police and treat them, you know, with the respect that they deserve. And, yes, you have some bad cops in there, but there's bad people in every line of work. There's just bad humans out there. And those people should be weeded out, but we shouldn't defund the police. We should support our law enforcement, and that's just not happening.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bliss, for House 5A.